I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gail Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When you go to the grocery store, do you get a plastic bag to carry your stuff out with? Maybe you've reformed and you use a reusable bag, or a paper bag if you forgot yours at home. Well, what about at the bookstore, or the clothing store, or the hardware store? Do you bring your own bags there? You might want to get in the habit. State lawmakers in Vermont have passed a plastic bag ban that, if signed by the governor, will go into effect in July of 2020. So you've got a year to get organized, and more to the point, so do retailers. The bill is not just about single-use plastic bags. It also addresses polystyrene food and drink containers, straws, and adds fees for using single-use paper bags. So today we're going to look at exactly what's in this new law so we can all get prepared. Chris Bray is a Democratic state senator representing Addison County. He's lead sponsor of S-113, the bill that would ban single-use plastic bags and polystyrene food and drink containers. Amy Sheldon is a Democratic state representative from East Middlebury. She's chair of the House Committee on Natural Resources, Fish, and Wildlife, which worked on the bill when it was in the House. It's a pleasure to have you both with us.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Thank you, Jane.
So, Chris Bray, you started this session really eager to get a ban like this passed. You've been working on this idea for many years, but it seemed like this was the year to do it. Why were you so eager, and what problem are you trying to solve?
Well, the timing was driven in part by seeing a successful plastic ban bag program implemented in Brattleboro, and then in Addison County, a number of towns went through a referendum to look into a ban. And so I think one of the changes over the last decade is the public is now starting to lead the legislature in the right direction. But the underlying problem is really that there's an unprecedented challenge in terms of how much plastic we have, and it creates virtually permanent and in some cases toxic pollution. So we've underestimated, I think, the problem, and it's a good time to really make a positive move to reduce our use of plastics.
So the fact that some other municipalities had already passed ordinances like this and we were starting to see this sort of patchwork around the state, that made it feel like maybe a more opportune time to get some opponents on board who would suddenly be saying, okay, fine, if this is all coming and we're going to have this whole weird network depending on where you live and what place you're shopping in, then let's just do it across the board.
Sure. Yeah. So I went to the head of the Vermont Retailers and Grocers Association early in the session to talk to them about this. I know they had concerns in the past, and so I wanted to understand what they were and then work to address them through the bill we were developing. And from their point of view, so I think they appreciated that kind of engagement. But the other thing is retailers don't want to have a patchwork of regulations that vary town by town. A level playing field is always helpful, as well as regulatory certainty.
And Representative Sheldon, what about for you? Is this something that you were also eager to pass, or was this a little bit more of a yank for the House to get behind?
No, it was not a yank at all. I think a lot of us come from those towns that were interested in having the bans, and certainly Middlebury is one of them. And our town voted to have pursue a local ban, and they were excited when they found out it would be possibly happening at the state level. So it was pretty easy. Our whole committee was very on board with this bill, I would say.
How difficult was it to get to a mutual agreement on the two versions, the House and the Senate? Because there were some differences. And, you know, when we talked to the governor last week, in fact, there were some things that had happened in conference that he was unaware of. So how difficult was it, and how close were you when you came to actually coming together on this? You're looking at each other.
Well, yeah, we were on the conference committee together, and I'll let Senator Bray rate how difficult it was, because it was my first opportunity to be on chairing a conference committee. But I guess I would say that I found it to be quite gratifying. I think the bill got better as we worked together on it and communicated about the different testimony that we heard and the different perspectives and things we thought were really important. And we could talk a little bit about the details of what the House sent back and then what we worked out in conference, but I'll let Senator Bray rate the difficulty.
Sure. Yeah, I'd say the difficulty was low. You know, I mean, yes, we had differences, and we met five or six times. So we went through drafts, but that's very much like the committee process. You sit down, you talk something through, you make another proposal in writing, and then you bring it back to the table and you talk your way through that. The bones of the bill are very similar, House to Senate, but what we did tune up were definitions for the most part.
And in fact, it seems like you kind of made it a tougher bill going through that process, that what came out, the final version is, if anything, a little bit tougher in terms of what's banned, what's included, fees for paper bags. And we'll get into all of what's actually in the final version so we don't confuse people. But do you think that's an accurate assessment, that it's actually kind of tougher now than it was before you came together on it?
I think so. The reality is that although I think that certainly solid waste managers across the country have been working on this issue for 30 years. It's still right now kind of rubber hitting the road, and we're learning more about what's an effective way to implement a ban like this. So even between the Senate sending the version to us over in the House, we're getting feedback on the importance of actually banning plastic bags when you have a plastic bag ban, which sounds funny, but some of the bills across the country are linked to the thickness of the bag, but that just ends up creating more thicker plastic bags instead of, moving away from them.
Okay. Rohan writes, this is one of the easiest ways to start cutting down on unnecessary waste. Kristen, though, says, I'm not paying for paper bags and I'm not buying gross canvas bags. You will all have to wait in line until I go out to my car and get my crates and coolers to pack my groceries in for the ride home. You both comfortable with that? Kristen making people wait in line so she can get her crates and coolers?
Well, there's a lot of innovative solutions. That's a new one on me.
Crates and coolers are reusable. Certainly could be an option for customers who don't want to carry any bags at all.
Right.
Certainly could be. And I know some retailers provide boxes for folks who prefer that also, that are reusable.
So just so we're all on the same page for what exactly is in this bill, what we can get prepared for by 2020, knowing that there may be some tweaks between now and 2020 when this actually goes into effect. Let's talk about it. So first of all, the one that we keep talking about, single-use plastic bags, exactly what is being banned and how? Amy Sheldon.
I would say those classic plastic grocery bags that you get when you go to the store are what's really being looked at. And we know that, there seem like it is the tip of the iceberg, but it's also something that we can pretty easily just change our behavior. It's one of the reasons I like this bill. It's even in reviewing and, going through the process of passing the legislation, it gave me a whole new perspective personally on my relationship to single-use products beyond plastic bags. I was already pretty committed to canvas bags.
Those gross canvas bags that Kristen doesn't want.
Yeah, which I also want to give a shout out to the women of Addison County who are hoping to replace that image of gross canvas bags with beautiful bags made of fabric, extra fabrics. And those are being given away free throughout town and the county.
When we talk about those single-use plastic bags, and Representative Sheldon mentioned the ones that we think of as those thin little grocery bags, we're not talking, Senator Bray, about things like trash bags, which are, of course, another big, usually single-use, although here at VPR we actually wind up reusing them. But, most of the time trash bags are single-use, so it's not all single-use plastic.
Right. And I think one of the so two quick things. One is in terms of the focus for a lot of people has been on banning single-use plastic bags. But a major point of the bill is moving people away from single-use plastics to reusable things. So we're talking about reusable bags. And for instance, we're not just trying to get people to switch from single-use plastic to single-use paper. It's reusable bags is the goal. And the other thing that sometimes is a little confusing for people when they first hear about the bill is the place we're regulating in this bill is when you're at the checkout counter paying to leave. So if you've bought plastic bags in the store before you got there, those are all fine. They are still for sale. If you're in the produce section and you're picking up a wet head of lettuce and you don't want to put this in your bag, you want to have a baggie on it to keep the rest of your stuff dry, you still can use that. But it's when you're checking out and loading up your groceries, for instance, that's the bag in the situation that we're really oriented to regulating.
You're also regulating what happens for people who want to get takeout containers. And, often you get a styrofoam takeout container, and polystyrene is, what we're calling it here more officially. But this will apply to both food and drink containers. No more polystyrene takeout containers. Exactly what does that look like? Does it go beyond just that, or is it just sort of the takeout counter where we're talking about things?
It's just the takeout food that we're talking about. And in fact, we did do a fair amount of work exploring and only banning things that had really solid replacements already on the market in the paper recyclable category. So we're sort of easing into this, but it's definitely the ban on polystyrene takeout food containers.
Right. And yeah, you wanted to say
well,
something?
Well, and also in the grocery world, there's an application. So if you're selling products in Vermont and you have a choice between packaging them up in polystyrene or paper or some alternative, you can think of eggs. If you're selling those eggs in Vermont, we're saying, no, you don't package in polystyrene anymore. If you're a grocery store that buys eggs from out of state that come in polystyrene, fine. If you're a Vermont egg producer that sells out of state in polystyrene, fine. But for what we do as Vermonters in Vermont, then that becomes part of the story as well.
But those plastic egg containers still okay?
Well, depends. So there's multiple kinds of plastic, right? And I mean, that's part of at some point, I bet we'll come back and talk about the working group. But there's a this bill is really a door into a much bigger topic, as Representative Sheldon was saying earlier. So we're making an important start on plastics and reducing especially single-use plastic use. And I think the most exciting things are what may come out of the working group in years ahead.
While we're still talking about the details of the bill, straws and now stirrers are included in this bill. Straws are not banned exactly, but you're going to have to ask for them. Is that correct?
Correct. So we learned that there are people who can't drink from a cup, so they need a straw. And we wanted to make sure that people who need a straw can get a straw. And so that provisions for asking for one in a retail establishment or places such as hospitals, nursing homes that may need them for patients, customers, they still have they're addressed and exempted in the bill.
And Amy Sheldon, this question about paper bags is also addressed in the bill. And there was some question before this went into conference and came out as a single bill, whether there would be a voluntary charge on paper bags at the checkout or a mandatory charge or no charge at all. As it turns out, when you go through the grocery store checkout line or really, you know, any retail establishment and you're checking out, that question of whether or not you get a paper bag, especially if you can't get a single-use plastic bag, will now come with a 10-cent charge, except in some cases. So what are we charging?
The easy way to think about it is that for grocery type and size bags, there'll be a mandatory 10-cent fee. And that's because in jurisdictions that didn't have the fee, they found a huge increase in the use of paper, which is not really the point of it. But we did hear compelling testimony from the smaller retailers that the small bags for mom's Mother's Day card, you know, we still want to be able to give those away for free. And so we came up with a standard of a 30-pound basis weight, which is a little bit technical and wonky, but we're going to see if that helps people make a distinction. We look to bag manufacturers for that guidance, but that's one of the ways that they define bags. So,
That's basically how much can be carried in the bag. It's obviously
it's not. It actually has to do with the thickness of the paper, but that reflects what can be carried and the volume of the bag.
Got it. So it's really a sort of a volume issue for bags, like what volume can the bag actually contain, and right. Lower volume bags are exempted for
Correct.
Now. Well, while we're talking about bags and what's in it and working with other groups, let's actually talk to the Vermont Retail and Grocers Association and their president, Aaron Segrist. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for being on the program.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So grocers on board with this idea and retailers in general?
You know, we came out at the beginning of the session saying if you are going to ban plastic bags, then obviously we want to seat at the table. And we've absolutely appreciated the Senate and the House's participation in allowing or I guess allowing us to participate in that conversation. We've seen the regulations coming across the state. You know, there have been several municipalities that have started to either discuss or have actually banned plastic bags. And so we said if it's coming, We want to be part of that conversation, and it's been a fun process to be a part of, I have to say.
A fun process to be a part of. Well, that's a quote.
Maybe I shouldn't say fun, right? But it's been interesting, and I've learned a lot. So,
you know, part of it has been being involved in this, and certainly for you, and Senator Bray mentioned that at the beginning, that that's key, because you have to get buy-in from retailers and grocers if this is going to work, and certainly if it's going to affect their businesses and how customers actually make it through the process, then obviously, you know, you need to be involved. And so one of the things that that has been a little bit of a question, and that I think you had some influence on, or your organization, was this question of a paper bag surcharge and whether it should be mandatory or voluntary. Can you talk us through how your perspective on that for the organization?
Yeah, and it's a bit difficult to explain it at some point. So, you know, we represent retailers of all sizes. So we have the independently owned country store. We've got the, you know, clothing store on Main Street, and we've got the large grocery stores as well. And so let's start with large grocery stores. If I walk in as a customer to my local grocery store and I'm presented with two free options, paper and plastic, and you're going to take one of those free options away, then I'm automatically going to move my expectation over to the other free option. So that's a paper bag. And as Representative Sheldon just recently said, you know, in municipalities that have banned plastic, the usage rate for paper bags has skyrocketed. And so, you know, that was a significant concern for the large grocers. If our goal is to encourage people to start using reusable bags, then there needs to be some type of expectation that you will have to pay some type of a fee. Some municipalities have done 5 cents. Some municipalities have done 10 cents. You know, the legislature ultimately settled on 10 cents. I assume to quickly or in a much faster rate deter people from purchasing those paper bags. But if we look at the small independently owned stores on Main Street all around this state, you know, it's a common courtesy that they have provided bags to their customers for years. It's just something that retailers have done for the longest time. And, you know, they also offer various sizes of paper bags. So, you know, I could walk into the clothing store on Main Street and buy a shirt, and I could get a, you know, 6-inch by 3-inch by, I don't know, 11-inch bag. And I have to pay 10 cents for that, just like I have to pay 10 cents for the large grocery bag. And there's some concern that there will be some, maybe not frustration, but some questioning on why we have to pay 10 cents for both size bags. You know, and so we were pretty adamant throughout the session that if you are going to charge, we ask for a definition of the size of a bag. So we appreciate you know, the legislature working with us on that. I'm not sure if the basis weight of more than 30 pounds is necessarily the clearest way, but I'm hoping to work with members over the summer and get a better explanation that hopefully we can take back to the legislature next session.
You know, Aaron, when we spoke with Governor Phil Scott a week ago, he said that he hadn't read the final bill yet. It hadn't reached his desk, but that as long as it had the support of lawmakers and grocers and retailers, he would be unlikely to veto it. Let's listen
to what
he said.
From my perspective, if it's okay with them and it has the majority in the legislature approving of this, then I'm sure it'll become law.
So have you spoken with the governor, given that one of his concerns was about this mandatory versus voluntary fee and what that would actually be on paper bags, and, you know, that he wanted to check in to make sure that grocers and retailers were on board before signing it?
Yeah. So I didn't speak with the governor directly, but I did speak with several of his staffers. And I am hoping to reach out to his lead liaison in the next day or so to make sure that she understands where we are on the bill. Obviously, we don't love every aspect of it, but again, the legislature has been fantastic in working with us and hearing our concerns. You know, and like I said at the beginning of this conversation, it's coming. You know, it's been plastic bags have been banned in entire countries. They've been banned in other states. They're banned all over several municipalities in New England. So we know it's coming, and we don't want a patchwork of bans across the state to make it more difficult for retailers to manage. You know, we're happy to sit down with the governor. Again, I've spoken to several of his staffers. I think it's at the point where it's as best as we can possibly get it. But as you know, just because it's written into law now doesn't mean it can't be changed later as well.
Well, we'll see what happens between now and July of 2020 then. Aaron Segrist is president of the Vermont Retail and Grocers Association. Thank you very much for sharing your organization's perspective.
Thank you, Jane.
We're talking today about new legislation that, assuming it goes into law, will ban the use of single-serve plastic bags, styrofoam containers, and other things starting next summer. Chris Bray is a Democratic state senator representing Addison County. He's lead sponsor of S-113, the bill that would ban single-use plastic bags and polystyrene food and drink containers. Amy Sheldon is a Democratic state representative from East Middlebury. She's chair of the House Committee on Natural Resources, Fish and Wildlife, which worked on the bill when it was in the House. And they are both with us today explaining exactly what's in this legislation and how it's going to affect you. Earlier today, VPR reporter John Dillon spoke with Matt Seaholm, the executive director of the American Progressive Bag Alliance. It's a national lobbying group for the manufacturers and recyclers of plastic bags. They've been pushing hard against plastic bag bans around the country. Seaholm said he hoped S-113 would not become law, and he argued that single-use plastic bag bans have historically been ineffective.
You know, we see it as a misguided attempt at reducing overall litter and waste. We see these types of policies across the country, and not one of them has ever been shown to meaningfully reduce overall litter and waste.
He also said that the reusable bags consumers would end up using are mostly made in China.
The biggest point that we're trying to make is, you know, Senate Bill 113 went so far in prescribing that people use foreign-made products that it's something we haven't seen anywhere else. The products that they specifically call out for people to use is directing American-made products out of the marketplace altogether and requiring people to use products that are made overseas.
Again, that was Matt Seaholm, executive director of the American Progressive Bag Alliance, which lobbies against these plastic bag bans. So, Senator Bray, what do you think? What do you respond to his criticism?
Well, the industry representatives from the plastic bag industry were in our committee, and they never delivered precisely that testimony. But I can assure listeners that our goal is not to send Americans to buying reusable bags from overseas, and I think that's patently inaccurate. There are many manufacturers of reusable bags in the United States. And as Representative Sheldon was saying earlier, we have seen many groups appearing to make sure that reusable bags are being created right here around home. They're being given away. So we wanted to make sure that Vermonters, regardless of income level, would have access to reusable bags.
Yeah, Representative Sheldon, as a woman of Addison County, I didn't realize I was required now to sew reusable bags. Who's actually doing this?
You're not required. But in Middlebury, at our town meeting when we had the vote, there was a beautiful tree of bags, and everyone could come and take one. And the women who've gotten together to do that have continued to do it and enjoy each other's company. And they're spreading to Bristol and trying to get more people to look in their attics for that unused fabric and make beautiful bags.
And there are other retailers and organizations that have sprung up to do interesting things, too. I mean, again, in Middlebury, in your district, Amy, at the Vermont Bookshop, there's actually a box now, is that right, where people can put reusable bags? And so if you forget to bring your reusable bag to the bookstore, you can grab one from this box. Or if you have an extra, you can throw it in there, sort of like to have a penny, take a penny, but for reusable bags.
Exactly. Have a bag, leave a bag. I guess I want to just follow up on something that Senator Bray mentioned. But I see this as sort of like when retailers or restaurateurs sort of panicked about banning smoking in their establishments, we're going to lose all this business. And the and the inverse was true. People actually came in and ate and left and didn't linger, and more people were able to enjoy the experience. I think retailers will find a significant savings over time around not having to supply a single-use bag to every customer.
Right. You know, in any bill, there are, of course, unintended consequences. And we got a note from Tony, who perhaps has one. I hadn't thought of this, but Tony says, I know this is a pretty small blip on the radar screen, but I run a small food shelf in our town, and we rely on the plastic bags that have been used at a local supermarket already and are being given, recycled if you will, to us. The advantage is that they are of uniform size, so no one customer has a bigger bag and therefore more food capacity than someone else who is equally food insecure. Now we will have to figure out an alternative that continues to put customers on a level playing field. It will be an expense for us to purchase cloth bags of equal capacity, and I hope people don't lose them or forget them when they come to us. Is that something that you either heard testimony on or thought about? Perhaps places where these single-use plastic bags are used that could make for at least a small hardship for people?
Well, we heard, you know, that I've actually talked with a number. So Amy was talking about the groups of people that are sewing and collecting and giving away. And one of the places they're creating bags for are exactly places like HOPE, you know, our food shelf and organization down in Addison County. So I know that kind of thing is happening around the state. The other thing in terms of it being a small blip, plastic bags, I think Vermonters might be surprised to know that we use 332 million a year. So it's actually a large waste stream, and it's an easy one for us to address.
Yes, and just to clarify, Tony, I think he meant his issue is a small blip, not the plastic bags, which clearly, you know, are a huge one. Let's go to Kaylee, who's calling in from South Royalton. Hi, Kaylee. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Hi. First off, I'd like to thank Senator Bray and Representative Sheldon for their leadership on this important issue. I'm so sick of seeing new examples of terrible plastic pollution in my newsfeed every day. I think this bill will really help. However, my question is about next steps. I know you'll be looking at other single-use products, but I'm wondering if Vermont might consider banning plastic water bottles or plastic drink containers in general. And if not a ban on those products right away, what about modernizing the bottle bill to cover all those water bottles and other bottles that didn't exist when the bottle bill was passed originally? At least we could do a better job of recycling these items, and I hope you'll consider moving in that direction.
Kaylee, thanks for the call. Senator Bray?
So there is a bill in Senate Natural exactly on this, you know, changing the bottle deposit on water, adding water bottles to the bottle deposit law, going from a nickel to a dime, modernizing, et cetera. Solid waste is actually an entire ecosystem. There are many different kinds of waste that all have to be handled as an integrated system. And so one of the things this bill includes is a working group to look at single-use plastics. And I think if we have a chance to come back and talk about it, I think there's a huge potential for improvement ahead of us. Over 50% of all the plastics ever made were made in the last 15 years alone. 50% of those are plastic packaging. So by definition, one-time use. You know, you open the package, away it goes. It's trash right away. So we're looking at creating the possibility of a expended producer responsibility program. So that is, whoever creates the product has a responsibility in terms of how it's disposed of in the end. We already do this very successfully in Vermont for paint, for batteries, for anything containing mercury. So it would be, we could build on an existing paradigm that we have, a good program, and say, if you think ahead when you're creating the packaging, knowing you have a responsibility to help, at the other end of its lifetime, you may use less packaging, you may use an alternative, and it turns out to be we save money and it delivers an environmental dividend.
Well, on that, Susan wrote us a note saying, I'm proud that our state can lead the way with a first step in reducing plastics that are choking our land and seas. I urge Governor Scott to sign this bill. There's so much plastic in everything we buy. I would like to see a law that would require any and all plastic packaging produced to have a recycling number code. There is a lot that does not. So Susan, hoping for more action. Camilla is calling in from Calais. Hi, Camilla.
Hi there. First of all, just thank you so much. I love this piece of legislation, and I'm really glad, especially that that 10-cent charge for paper bags is included, as someone who remembers to bring hers every time. But my question is whether legislators have considered using the revenue from those fees for getting more reusable hands in the bags in the hands of low-income Vermonters, or maybe on cleaning up our water, dealing with water pollution, given that the link to plastic is pretty strong. Basically, anything other than just giving the money right back to the retailers, which seems like a missed opportunity.
Camilla, thanks for that. So what do you think, Representative Sheldon? Because right now in the bill, that 10-cent surcharge for paper bags does go back to the retailer, right?
It stays with the retailer. That's correct. We did discuss it a little bit in our committee, and there were certainly people who were interested in that. And I would just say that that may be something that happens in the future, but we weren't there yet on this one.
So Jesse Ruth has a question. Will grocery stores in Vermont still have bag take-back bins if the ban passes? Those bins can accept a number of other types of plastic commonly sold in the grocery store, like product overwrap, bread bags, and clean produce bags. Any ideas about whether that will still happen if we have no more single-use plastic bags at the checkout?
So that's a great question. And, you know, I think one of the things with this bill, the reason that it has an unusual implementation schedule, basically it was 15 months from the date of introduction to the date of implementation, is so that we can have all the conversations we need to have before the bill is actually final. So it may, I don't think that the question that Jesse's bringing up would be interfered with by this. If a retailer wants to be collecting those bags as a courtesy to their customers and then bringing them to a transfer station, for instance, of course they can go ahead. The bill doesn't speak to that at all. But we know that we're changing the way we use plastic, and so there'll be things we'll need to learn along the way, which is part of why we have a working group. And then we have a full legislative session to look at the bill we already will have passed. We hope the governor will be signing it next week. And we could make we could tune the bill up a little bit. But I think if we get all the way to passage and having the governor sign, we'll have made a really important first step.
Let's go to Greg on the line with us from Burlington. Greg, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I usually bring a cloth bag, or when I can, I try to take some retailers have a stack of boxes like Healthy Living and the Co-op, and I put my groceries in a box. But what I don't want to happen is have to buy trash bags. Like when I go to the Y, I bring a plastic bag and use that to put my wet swimsuit in, and then I use it in my my bathroom trash bag trash can. So actually, they're not single use for me when I take one from the supermarket.
Yeah, Greg, thanks for the call. And also, studies have shown that when there are plastic bag bans, often that results in an increase in things like thicker trash bags, more trash bags being bought, or more bags that are being bought to accommodate the uses that people used to find for their single-use bags after they'd used them at the grocery store. So what about that, Representative Sheldon?
Well, I sympathize with Greg. I stumbled over that when I first read the bill because I'm one of those people that lines my trash in the bathroom with the reusable the single-use grocery bag, plastic bag. And I think this is going to, there's so many signs all around us that we need to change the way we're doing business, and that the unintended consequences of our relationship to these, single-use items, it has to change. So I'm sympathetic, and I'm with Greg. I'm pursuing other alternatives myself.
What have you found so far?
Well, lined garbage cans and then take it right out to the trash is my best option for the way I'm dealing with household trash.
And wet swimsuit, you got an idea for that?
Beeswax. bees wrap, excuse me. Yeah.
That produce bag, I'm guessing a swimsuit might fit in one of those produce bags.
That's still a single-use plastic, though.
Well, this bill tackles part of the problem. We don't eliminate plastics everywhere.
All right. Well, that will be our next show with the two of you in, 10 months or so, how you've eliminated plastic around the state. I look forward to that conversation. Chris Bray is a Democratic state senator representing Addison County, and Amy Sheldon is a Democratic state representative from East Middlebury. And they've been talking about this plastic bag ban. Of course, the governor last week said he hadn't seen it yet. Once it reaches his desk, he has 5 days. We here at VPR will keep you updated on whether and when he signs it. So check back at vpr.org. Amy Sheldon and Chris Bray, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.